Welcome to the Energy Medicine and Healing Summit, where you'll discover how to take your health into your own hands from today's top energy medicine experts and healers. Share this powerful event with your friends and family, and join in our conversation on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Dondi Dalin.
Good day, everyone. Today we are talking with Amy B. Scher. Amy is the best-selling author of How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can and This Is How I Save My Life. As an expert in mind-body-spirit healing, she uses energy therapy techniques to help those experiencing emotional or physical challenges to heal permanently and completely. Hello, Amy.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I couldn't be more excited.
Well, we are excited too, and I'm going to get right into the first question because these interviews go so fast and we want to soak up everything you have to say.
So Sounds great.
Awesome. So you were sick for a long time. You were sick, I believe, over a decade, and you were looking for a cure. And I read that you even went to India, and you were involved in a controversial stem cell treatment. So along your journey, you said that you figured out why some people heal and others don't. Can you chat with us about that?
Of course. So I had many different chronic illnesses, or what are labeled as chronic illnesses. I had chronic Lyme disease, autoimmune issues, neuropathy, loss of nerve damage in my body. And I was really on a decade-long search to figure out what all these things were, what the underlining, you know, element was, and how the heck to get better from them. And like you said, I went all the way to India. I went all over the world to find a cure. And along the way, as we do, we meet many, many people. And I met some people who found their cure in, you know, vitamin B shots or juicing or whatever it may be. And that was never my path. And I always thought, why can't I get better that fast? And for me, what I really discovered is that our internal landscape matters more than the vitamins we take and the food we eat and the place we live and how much we exercise. And by that, I mean our emotional selves, our who we are at the core, our heart and our soul. And some of us, I believe, hold on to emotion and hold on to old energy, which really, really takes a toll on the body. And if people out there are listening going, I wonder if I'm one of those people, it's typically people who feel like they have to be perfect all the time or have a hard time letting go or feel like they just have to stuff everything and don't feel comfortable expressing their emotions, even to themselves. I was the kind of person who was always the rock in my family and the rock amongst my friends, and it took a long time for me to realize, and only after I, you know, exhausted every other possibility in treatment, that pattern was completely detrimental to my body. And so I believe that some people heal while others don't is dependent on who we are inside and how we feel inside, not just all the external things we can be so focused on.
Yeah, so that's why when someone is taking vitamins and minerals, just like you said, vitamin B shots, juicing, cleansing, meditating, and they're feeling like they're doing all the right things and they still aren't healing, then go deep into their emotional makeup. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I will say it's not as easy as taking vitamins and doing all these treatments all over the world. Like, that was easier than looking at myself and going, well, I'm kind of the only common denominator in all of these illnesses that I've manifested. And at some point I had an epiphany that if treating the body alone wasn't working, it was impossible that the body alone was the problem. And that was a hard, hard place for me to come to, especially as a perfectionist who, of course, never wanted anything to be my fault. But when I did realize that and when I did embrace that, what happened was everything shifted for me in a positive way.
Okay, so you have discovered this decoding, as you say, of your body's symptoms for clues to healing. And I would really be interested in you teaching us and the listeners about decoding the body. What clues can we look for in the healing process that will help us dive into this internal landscape, as you say?
Sure. So I always was really, really angry at my body, which I actually learned from the wonderful Donna Eden, never gets you anywhere to berate your body that is not aligned with healing. But I was always so mad at my body and frustrated and saw my body as a rebellious sort of entity that was not allowing me to move on with my life. And what I realized was that my body was the only truth teller in my life. My body was telling me the truth through symptoms all of the time. And the truth was that the way that I was living and the person that I was being wasn't in full alignment with myself. And when I realized that my body was the only thing, I guess you could say, that wasn't letting me get away with not being who I really was, not being who I really was because I was afraid people would judge me or because then I wouldn't be perfect or I would look vulnerable or whatever it may be, that really helped me use the clues through my symptoms for my own healing. And so there are two things that we can really always count on to help decode our body's messages. And one is looking at what the symptom or illness is keeping you from doing. So for me, I was in a lot of pain and I had a lot of fatigue. And that was keeping me stuck in my house in bed most of the time. And I find that what your symptom is keeping you from doing is some sort of protection mechanism. So if you can figure out what you can't do because of these symptoms, it can point to directly what you're afraid of. And for me, the outside world was very, very overwhelming. I am energetically sensitive. I don't like when people are upset with me. I can't say no. And so being stuck in the house in bed was actually the perfect solution, not at a conscious level, but from a subconscious level, was the perfect solution to not having to do or say or be any of the things that I was afraid of. So ask yourself, what is the symptom keeping you from doing? And that will often point to telling you what you're afraid of, and you can work on the emotions behind that. The second thing is how you feel about your symptoms or illness is a very, very good indicator for what emotional energy or patterns might be contributing to it. So when I work with clients now, I always ask them, how do you feel about the arthritis? How do you feel about the fatigue? And I can ask the same person or different people the same question, and they'll all come up with a different emotional feeling about the illness. So for instance, if one person has fatigue and they tell me that they're angry about it, and another person tells me that they're sad about it, I'll ask each of those people, before the fatigue came on, what do you think you were angry about that you've never let go of? What do you think you were sad about that you've never let go of? And that is like cracks everything wide open, because typically in the 18 months to, you know, 2 years before the symptoms appeared, if you can identify, you know, a primary emotion, it will help you look at what kind of could have been the last straw where the body just went, I can't deal with this, and the immune system sort of gave up. So those are my two things, is look at what the symptom is keeping you from doing and ask yourself how you feel about the symptom or illness as an indicator of some of the emotional energy that could be contributing to it.
Yes, thank you for those. Those are good questions to ask. Why do you think that we are seeing a whole new batch of health issues today and so many people with chronic illnesses?
So I really believe, I mean, and I don't want to sound like I don't believe in any environmental factors. Of course, we should still eat healthy and we should still, you know, do all the things we know are good for us. But I really think with what's sort of going on in the world right now, I feel like some of this is a universal shift to wake us up. And for me, I know that I would have never woken up or changed a darn thing in my life unless I absolutely had to. You know, I would have just gone on with my life being in relationships that weren't good for me, lying to myself about, you know, being happy when I wasn't, being in fear about, you know, what would happen if I wasn't perfect or didn't achieve how I thought I should. And the only thing that really brought me to my knees and was thrown in my face to make me look at those things was illness. And I think for some of us, probably most human beings, we don't do something until we absolutely have to. And with illness, you absolutely have to look deeper for permanent and complete healing. And so I think all of what's coming up, you know, in society right now with, you know, people speaking up and speaking out and expressing themselves, no matter where they are on the cultural or political spectrum, I think illness is sort of a parallel to that, where this place when you're in illness calls for you to do something differently than you've been doing. And I think it's part of a bigger picture.
Yes. So what about when people get into that awful loop of why me? Why did I get the cancer? Why do I have fibromyalgia? When they're really struggling and that type of thinking doesn't do a lot for their emotional health, for sure. Can you dive into this a little bit? Why me?
Absolutely. And I struggled with this because when I first started learning about the sort of the energy body and how our emotions play a part in our physical body, my very first reaction was, well, it's not my fault. And I see that a lot, and that is understandable, because when somebody or something or we read something that tells us that we may be part of creating or co-creating a condition, we suddenly get defensive because, of course, we don't want to feel like this. How could it be our fault? And why me? Am I being punished? You know, all of this comes up. And so what I try to tell people is that I think some of us have a life path that just requires a little bit more work and transformation than others, you know? And I think that we do contribute to our own physical circumstances, but that doesn't mean it's your fault. Sometimes crap just happens, right? Like, I think there's a mix of things. I think in part we co-create it. Sometimes things just go sideways and it happens. Sometimes there's part of a bigger picture. But I think the important thing to remember is that the why of it or the why me doesn't get you anywhere. So you can choose to look at it in a positive way. And if you can't, I think it's important to ditch the question and just really focus on, it's not our fault, but maybe in some way that I didn't realize, I participated. And if that's true, that means I can participate and be in some sort of control of things getting better. So, you know, if we want to get better, you have to make a conscious choice to stop asking why me if it's driving you crazy, because it just never gets you anywhere. So it's a little bit of a lighthearted, you know, it's easier for me to say just stop analyzing it. But really at the end of the day, stuff just happens. You ended up where you ended up, and now let's turn in another direction.
Yes. I once had a mentor who told me, I was struggling, and I said, how do I do this? How do I do this? Whatever I was doing. And he said, you just decide. And
yeah.
It's a lighthearted look at it, but sometimes you have to shift out and just decide. So, Amy,
it's true.
Yes, you have a big journey behind you in life. You've written two books about it. Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently? You traveled to a lot of places. I don't know how much you saw Western doctors, but I know there was a shift in there where you weren't running to people to fix you anymore. Is there anything you would have done differently that you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, and I did see lots and lots of Western doctors, lots of complementary, you know, practitioners. I saw just about everybody. And what I really ultimately learned was you can find pieces of the puzzle or pieces of the solution everywhere. You can travel around the world and find little pieces everywhere from different doctors in different places, but you always have to come home to yourself for the cure. And what I wish that I would have known in the beginning was not necessarily that, but just to lighten up. I was so hard on myself, and I'm a Virgo, and so with that comes a little bit of the, or a lot of the perfectionistic, I've got everything under control. But for me, I was so hard on myself, and I was so insistent that I had to get better, and it had to happen soon, and I pushed, and I wish I would have just flowed a little bit more. I wish I would have seen everything as more of a moving piece than panicked about everything and beaten myself up that I wasn't getting better fast enough, because in hindsight, I know now that if I would have lightened up on myself and on the situation and tried to take it a little bit more lightly, just a little bit in every area, I would have gotten well much, much faster, and I don't think I would have had to run around the world to do it. And so that's what I try to do now in my own life and help my clients with, is just lighten up. Even emotional healing doesn't have to be serious. We don't need to sit on the bed crying for 4 hours at a time while we're using EFT. We can do it in little increments, and we can be light with ourselves. And I feel, for me, that would have made all the difference in my journey.
So was there a moment when this hit you that you realized you needed to maybe not run to other people to fix you? Were you in a certain part of the world, or were you seeing a practitioner? When did this shift kind of take place, or was it all in hindsight?
I did realize it, and I write about this in my forthcoming book, This Is How I Saved My Life, where I went to India for the most drastic treatment you could get. I mean, I flew, you know, halfway across the world, and it was very expensive and very difficult emotionally to be sick in another country. And, you know, I really got a lot of physical improvement while I was there. And I thought, great, I'm cured. And I came home and I went on with the rest of my life. And it didn't take a whole, you know, long time after that before I started to slide backward. And I think that I came to healing myself and realizing no one else could do it, not by any willingness. I wish I could say I came to it gracefully. But I came to it because I had exhausted every other possibility. Where do you run to after you've gone to India? I mean, I had seen like every doctor I could think of in the United States, and you know, I had been to all the best clinics in the United States, and I came to it because there was nowhere else to go. There was nothing else to do. And for me, I needed that, because I would have happily just kept running to everybody else, because again, it can be easier in some ways. So I think when I got back from India, it took probably about a year, but I realized I'm just going back to where I started. I'm just going backwards, because running to other people and other places and other things just doesn't work. And now I think, because I've been to India, I've proved it. Like, where else am I going to go?
Yes, that is kind of the mothership in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, I didn't come to it gracefully. I wish I could say one day I just, you know, but it was like, well, I kind of just got to the end of the line, and that was it. Nowhere else to run. And thank goodness that was, I mean, I always say the best thing that ever happened to me was doctors giving up on me, or telling me they couldn't help me, or me finding out that they couldn't, because that was the only thing that was ever going to make me embrace self-healing, which is what I needed all along.
Well, help us with a practice. I know you have a simple practice that can change a person's health. And is this something that you can share with us right now that we can do?
Definitely. Let's do it.
Okay.
So like we've talked about, suppressing emotions, whether it be fear or anger or sadness, or just trying to be perfect and steady and solid all the time, was a huge part of what I believe led to the breakdown of my physical body. And when I'm working with people today, there's always that pattern. That pattern shows up whether the diagnosis is cancer or, you know, arthritis or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. And so just to remember that our internal landscape is so important, and so many of us learned to talk ourselves out of our emotions. And the simple practice that we can do is learn to acknowledge the emotion or how we're feeling, no matter how crazy or silly or ridiculous it seems. If something makes you mad, even if it shouldn't, even if the other person didn't mean to, we still have to recognize it and allow it to move out of our body. Otherwise, we get this buildup of emotions that disturbs the energy flow in our body and eventually will interfere with how our muscles, glands, and organs work at a physical level. So one of the practices that I really love is to use thymus tapping. So your thymus gland is about an inch below the notch in your neck where you would tie a tie. And it's a slightly raised area on your chest. And if you just take your fingertips and you tap on that area as you really just feel the emotion that you are feeling at the time. Again, whether it makes sense or doesn't, if you're feeling it, it's legit and it needs to be expressed from your body. You don't have to go tell the person who hurt you. You just have to get it out of your body, even if it just goes into, you know, thin air. And so tapping the thymus gland while you feel that emotion, while you just focus on it temporarily. And a lot of times what I say is, I'm letting go of this anger, or I'm letting go of this sadness as I tap. And there's a technique that I use called the thymus test and tap, which is a little more complicated than this, but it's in my book, How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can. But the premise is that our thymus gland is connected to the rest of our energy system. And when we tap on the thymus gland, what I've discovered is the percussion effect of the tapping helps to kind of flush out energy blockages. And because emotions can get stuck anywhere in our energy system and affect us, if we acknowledge the emotion at the same time we're tapping on the thymus gland, it can help to neutralize or release that energy for us. So you can tap, you know, 3 times, or you can tap 100 times and tap for 10 minutes. It doesn't really matter, but just focusing on the emotion, continuously tapping the thymus gland while you either say, you know, I'm letting go of this, or I'm ready to release this, and taking some deep breaths until you feel it pass can make a huge difference.
Excellent. Well, you know I'm all about thymus tapping, and studies show that the thymus actually starts to shrink after puberty, and it's thought that if we tap it, we can pump it back up, and that's directly linked to our immune system, which is everything you are talking about today and keeping us well. So thank you for that. You have talked about a lot today. You've talked about when a person is doing everything right and still not healing, and you are suggesting that people look at their internal landscape, their emotional makeup, which takes a physical toll on the body. If you're stuffing things inside and you aren't speaking up and you have negative or detrimental thinking, and so you want to ask yourself, am I the common denominator in my healing? And you gave us 2 things, great things to look for in our health journey. And the listeners can ask themselves these questions. The symptom or illness that I'm experiencing, what is it keeping me from doing? And then you want to work on the emotions behind that. And then the second question is, how do you feel about your symptoms? And you, Amy, you ask your clients this, and you get a lot of insight from that one question. And then, of course, the simple practice of thymus tapping, which is so good for our body and so easy to do, and we can do it every day. So where can people find out more about you and keep abreast of what you are doing in this world?
So my website is probably the best place, and they can go to www.amy, A-M-Y, my middle initial B, and my last name Cher, S-C-H-E-R.com. So amybcher.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and I just love to connect with my readers, those who are watching. I'm also on YouTube and have tons and tons of free videos. So I love to hear from people who have used my work and just kind of hear how they're doing.
Good. And I want to mention that you also have a really insightful blog with many inspirational writings. And you share so much with people. But if there was just one thing that you could tell us today that the listeners could walk away with, what would that one thing be?
Oh, one thing is so hard, but let me try. For a wordy person, for a writer, one thing is hard. But I think that I would tell people that you can heal yourself, that it may be hard to believe, and you don't need to do it alone. It's certainly not wrong to go to practitioners and doctors for support. But I feel like for permanent and complete healing, turning inward, even if it's only for 5 minutes at a time using techniques, it doesn't have to be you spend all day, but using energy medicine, energy therapy techniques, whatever you feel most drawn to, you can do it. You can play a bigger part in your own wellness than you ever thought. And I promise you, because I'm a shortcut taker, it can be easier than you imagine.
Well, that's excellent. And what you said earlier in the interview is being mad at your body doesn't help. So you want to get over that.
In fact, it stalls you. So just try to find a way to laugh at it or be lighter at it, because it really will make things go a little bit more or a lot more smoothly.
Well, thank you, Amy. Thank you for this great interview, and thank you to all of our listeners today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Energy Medicine and Healing Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. You can add every teaching and transcript to your personal library by visiting energymedicinesummit.com/upgrade. To learn more about awakening to your full potential, and together co-creating a world that works for all, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for joining us, and for sharing this life-changing information with your friends and family.